Didn't he? Amen. How many thankful for being in church tonight? Yes. Well, this is going to be interesting to go into the things of God and His Word concerning Pentecost. Amen? The Hebrew for that is Shavuot. And we're going to be trying to go in as much as we can on it. We're going to be continuing this on Sunday. So we start here on Saturday and we'll continue on Sunday going through all of these scripture. And how many know that we serve an incredible God? Amen. He loves us and He wants the best for us. And we're going to be looking at Shavuot, Revelation, and the fruit of the Spirit. We know that in the book of Acts, we'll be looking at that here soon, that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, the word Pentecost is the Greek translation of Shavuot. So, because it happened on the 50th day, you shall count 49 days, and on the 50th day, that's Pentecost. Well, all those things are significant to what we need to know and understand about being Christians and serving God. What I believe has happened over the years is because of grace. People say, well, we're under grace. There's no need for us to even look at those things anymore. There's no reason for us to. So what happens is we start adapting things that we say honor God, but they don't bring no honor to God. Because God said you can't worship Him in those ways. Now, on Thursday night, I was doing some questions and answers again, but we kind of had a little runoff there. And if you were here Thursday, or if you hadn't listened to it on Thursday, these are some powerful things that we started going into. And I said tonight, we just need to let go. How many are ready to let the Word do its job? Well, let me explain something to you about how all of this works, and then we'll get started in reading the text. This is one of the feasts that was assigned to the children of Israel. I'm going to try to get into this as much as I can, talking about this. From Passover, this is what you would call a continuation feast, or the bringing to a close Passover. So from Passover, we did the Passover lamb, and we talked about all of that, and then we have the weeks of unleavened bread. Remember the week of unleavened bread? And then you count the Omer. When you count the Omer, you should count, and he said 49 days, and on the 50th day will be Shavuot. And so what the Greeks would pronounce it Pentecost. And so there's been a lot of things dealing with Pentecost. There's Pentecostals. People might ask you, are you Pentecostal? And Pentecost is related to the outpouring of the Spirit. That's why they would call them Pentecostals, because the Spirit was outpoured out. But I'm going to show you that why all of that is significant and why it happened and what is the benefit for us today and why we should remember it. Why we should remember it. As Christians, we should remember God's days that He selected. We should remember those days. Now, could we perform the feast as described by God in the Old Testament today? Could we do it? Well, we know we can't do it because we're not in Jerusalem. This was one of the times, and this Shavuot was one of the times that they had to travel back to Jerusalem. All the male had to be there. We can't do that. So we can't biblically, from the standpoint of keeping it, but we can remember it. That's what I feel has happened. There was no remembrance of it. It's because we don't remember it, we drift. And we get off on other things, and we call the other things that God never intended to worship Him, we call them more blessed than we do the things of God. We call them more holy than the things of God. And so what happened is we don't realize that we're in a form of godliness, but we deny the power thereof. How many want the power that comes with Pentecost? You can have it. You can have the power that comes with Pentecost. You don't have to have anybody. How many know when we encourage each other, that's something that we should do. We should encourage one another. But if someone doesn't encourage you, you can be encouraged by the Word alone. Because we're not to rely on somebody else being our encouragement. That's just, that should be the things we do for one another. But that's not the thing that should help us along the way. What helps us, what establishes us, is the Word of God. And so we're going to look at that. We're going to look at this day of Pentecost. And we're going to cover some things I believe that's of great value. That's going to help us understand all of these things. And hopefully we can get into this. It takes some time, especially when you're just starting to do stuff like that. It takes a lot of time. But let me explain something to you about when the day of Shavuot, it was when the Torah was given to Moses on Mount Sinai. That's when it was celebrated. So when they got to the mountain, the Torah was given to Moses on Mount Sinai. That was Pentecost. That was that same day, okay? How many believe that's significant? Let me tell you how significant it is. Torah, when you look and study the word Torah, and that's a word you rarely hear in church, right? We don't use that. More likely people like to use the law. The law. But it was called the Torah. It was given to what is described as that. In the Talmud, it's described as that. Early Jews used that term. And that term is significant. It's significant because God deals with words. How many know that? God deals with words. And I'm going to give you something to be thinking about as we go through this. I want you to understand that when the Holy Ghost was spoken of, it says that he would baptize us. How many has ever heard that term or read that in the scripture? That when it comes, you'll be baptized in the Holy Ghost. He said, as John said, there's one coming who's mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to unloose. And I'm not him, he's another coming. He said, I'm just the forerunner. I'm the one testifying of the one coming. And he, talking about Jesus, shall baptize you with Holy Ghost and fire. All right, keep that in mind. So the Word of God is, how many of you have ever heard this term? Wash by the washing of the Word. Now, when I say wash by the washing of the Word, what would you think of? A desert? What would you think of? Give me a word that you would think of when I'd say wash by the washing of the Word. Who said it over here? Water, right? Water. So you'd be baptized with the Holy Ghost. If I say baptized, what would you think about? Water, right? Do you know that when God started, it's a proven fact, and we scientists now know this to be a fact, that this universe, the expanse is water. And he separated the waters from the waters. This is Almighty God. And I want you to think about the word is also, Torah has a meaning that means water. Okay? So he's given the Torah and he's going to cover them. They're going to be submerged or baptized in the Word of God. What's significant in the New Testament is we have the Spirit of the Lord and we get baptized in the Holy Spirit. And that's significant. Now, if I took a bunch of hay, how many know what hay is? Just get some hay. And I had that hay and it has been dry, and I took some fire and I put fire to the hay, what would happen? It would burn it up. It wouldn't take long either. You wouldn't have to sit there going trying to get it going, would you? No, you wouldn't have to do that. You wouldn't have to do that at all. There'd be no reason to do that. Because it's dry and you take fire to hay, it'll burn it up quick. I mean, fast, it'll burn up. And I've seen that happen already. Just a little bit. What about if I took the hay and I've been soaking it in water? All right? I just soaked it in water for weeks. And I took the same fire, pulled it out of the water, and I put the flame to it. What would happen? What would happen? You know, hay, it has a wick effect. It would soak water in all the way to every part of it. And so it wouldn't be a fuel anymore because it's got so much water in it. And I would be sitting there and it would not light. It's just wet. Anybody ever try to light something that's wet? It doesn't work as good if it's dry. If it's dry, it takes right off. Well, let me tell you, I want you to think about this. When God gave the word on Mount Sinai, he says, what I'm going to do, he said, I'm going to set my laws in place, and if you obey them, I'm going to cover you or submerge you in the word, and nothing's going to get to you to destroy you. But if you don't, then things can get to you and destroy you. You remember what he said when he said, put on the whole armor of God that you're able to stand against the things that the devil brings your way, the wiles of the devil. And we do that, we take the shield of faith, and we got to trust what the faith is, trusting God's word that it will do what it said it would do. So you're able to do what to all the fiery darts of the wicked one? What are you able to do? Huh? You can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So if I take the fiery dart and I put it on the hay that's been submerged, been baptized, what's going to happen to the fiery dart? It's going to go out. But if I take the same fiery dart, the same attack, it goes on the dry and parched hay, what's going to happen? It's going to accomplish what it had been sent to do. And that's what the devil does daily. He's trying his best to get us so we don't keep ourselves covered by the word, submerged by the Spirit of God. That's why he said he'll baptize you with Holy Spirit. He'll baptize you with Holy Spirit. So I'm being baptized, being submerged with Holy Spirit. And that's what something I want you to keep that in mind. Every single time you've been attacked and it's been burned up, it's because you've been dry. Well, you can't sing a song that'll get folks wet. Songs don't baptize you. The word does. Because when the music fades and all is stripped away, what else do you have? Think about that. When all that stuff's gone and the service ends, what do you have? You got to have the word of God. So, Shavuot, I want you to get this, celebrating that and honoring it and remembering it is important because you can't honor Christ fully like you should if you don't understand what happened when he said, go to Jerusalem and tarry till you be endued with power from on high. You can't fully understand that because we don't understand where it come from. What's the type that we have to look at in the Old Testament? Where is it? And there's not enough teaching on it. There's not enough talking about it. So I pray that you'll grab hold to this and that we can understand it together, that we can see it. And every year you look forward to a time of remembering and bringing to your remembrance to honor what has happened for us, that we have power and strength and authority. We have it, but are we using it? Do we want to use it? Or do you want to make it on your own? Well, you can use it, but we have to go to the Word of God and let the Word of God unfold this in our lives and let it bring understanding to us. So I want you to think about that. Every time it's got to you, you were dry and parched. And he's not going to quit until he can destroy everything about you. That's his job. That's the enemy's job. But if you keep yourself submerged in the things of God, baptized in the Holy Spirit, then you don't have to worry about those things because they'll just fall to the ground. They have no authority, no power over the word. Amen? None whatsoever. He said, I won't leave you without comfort. I won't leave. And you shall receive power after that Holy Spirit has come on you. You shall receive power. So when they received Torah at Mount Sinai, and when they received Holy Spirit in the book of Acts, those were the same exact dates. Their time frames were the same. How many understand that? How many knew that? You see why we need to do this? So when Torah was given on Mount Sinai in Acts chapter 2, we have God putting his word in action to a whole entire group of people, covering them. He said, if they obey, I'm going to do everything I said in there. If they disobey, then I'm not going to do it. How many's been enjoying our Grace Effect series? We've been looking at that. All this stuff's tied together. It all links in. If you notice that when the word is going forth, it links together entirely throughout the scripture. So it doesn't make a difference what we talk about tonight, tomorrow. It all is going to tie in perfectly with what we've been talking about already, okay? So let's look. Again, I'm just going to give you some of these things because it's our first time coming together and recognizing this the way we should. And we must recognize it. It's what God wants for us and he desires for us. So I want to give you some of this understanding, okay? Let's look at this is the anniversary of the church. The anniversary of the church, okay? What we'll find, we're going to read that text that I have outlined for the starting slide, Acts chapter 2, verse number 1. And this is going to be an ongoing, growing type of understanding through this and us grabbing hold to this Pentecost, okay? And remember, so Pentecost is the Greek term. Remember that, Greek term. Shavuot would be the Hebrew term of that feast that was kept and they had to come before God. So let's look at it together. We're going to read in Acts chapter 2, verse number 1. We're going to go through that. But again, before I read this, I want to reiterate to you. Remember, God, this is not, you can't put it on partially. See, this is what folks will say. Well, we're not under the law because if we was under the law, you had to keep the whole law. I want to ask this question. We get in the habit of thinking we're not under it, so we got to keep the whole law. I wonder how much of the Holy Spirit you got to have. This partial thinking carries on no matter what we accept as our doctrine and theology. And we'll start, some folks do this and some folks do that. Well, me, the way I see it, I don't have to do any of it. I believe what we have to do is look at the Word of God and we have to see what the Word says on this and then we should follow that. If he says, you shall be endued with power from on high when the Spirit comes, then I believe he's speaking to that's the earliest, the apostles, that was his disciples. He said, tarry in Jerusalem, and then they come out of there and the anniversary of the church begins and they begin to preach the gospel and folks begin to be added to the church. We see that in the scripture. So here's what happens, and then folks go on and say, well, we don't believe that. We don't believe in the Holy Ghost. You see the problem? So it doesn't make a difference what folks pick. Some say, well, we're not going back and we don't believe in the feast, because if you do that, you got to keep the whole law. And we know we can't keep the whole law because we can't keep it now. And so that's done away with. And so we got the Holy Ghost now, but we don't want to keep all of that either. You see that habit that creeps in the church? You say, well, how do you know it's a habit? Well, just look around. Look at folks. There's some folks who won't fellowship with certain folks because they believe in the Holy Ghost. It's no wonder we got so many different theologies and religions floating around the world. Because we just won't go back to the Word of God. Now, let me tell you, so we got separation at church-wide. We know that that's happening. Some folks won't fellowship with people because they preach about the Holy Ghost. They preach about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They're not going to fellowship. Well, let me tell you, there's also division within the church that you're in. That means not outside these doors, the one that you're sitting in right now, there's division. Because some folks say, well, the way I see it, I don't have to do that or this, and I don't have to do that. Listen, nobody gets to decide on how it's going to be. The Word's deciding that. See, you got to submerge yourself. You got to. What does it mean to be baptized with the Holy Spirit? That release yourself. If you're hanging on, you know, if we put you in a tank and you're hanging on to the sides, and Brother Troy says, "Okay, we're gonna baptize you," and you say, and he said, "Let go," and you go. That's exactly what happens in the church all the time. And we got to be real tonight with each other. Folks are hanging on to stuff, and you want the benefits of what it brings. See, they wanted the benefit of the Lord speaking in the mountain, quaking in the fire and the smoke. They wanted the benefit of it, but they didn't want to obey. That carried on. Just because we said, we're going to just be under the New Testament. We Pentecostals. We Pentecostals, but we ain't doing this, and we ain't doing that, and we ain't doing this. See, the perimeters get set up that God never set. Boundaries get set that God never set. How many know God sets boundaries? God sets the boundaries. We got to obey the boundaries that God sets. We can't set our own because we're trying to celebrate Shavuot. Amen? We're trying to give God, we're trying to remember it. We're trying to give God the glory for what he's done for us. So I want you to keep that in mind, that these are important principles that you and I got to understand. There's division right here among us. Because you say, well, I don't feel that away. You feel it, I don't feel it. It has nothing to do with what you feel or what I feel. It's a command. God said that's what you got to do, then we ought to all be doing it. Right? Every one of us ought to be doing it. Well, I don't, you know, just that's not my personality. We're just, you listen, you got to get your personality under the blood of Jesus. You got to get that, let go and let your personality get under the blood of Jesus. These are important principles that we got to grab hold to. So for, listen, you said, well, you know, the way the Word works in my life, it just works a little different. I know how different Word works. It works according to the parameters you set. So I can be preaching like tonight, and I'm preaching, and all of a sudden the Word will go forth. I say something, and you can throw it to the back. I don't want that. If you're sitting on the back row, who gets it then? How many want what God wants for you? How many want victory? How many want to see the hand of God move mighty in your life? How many want to see where there'll be no lack in your life? We got on this Thursday night a little bit. How many no lack? How many want healing in your body? How many want understanding in your mind? How many want to see your whole family come to know Christ? You want all those things? You can have all of those things, but we can't set our own boundaries. We got to release ourselves. That's why it's baptized in Holy Spirit. Release yourself to the Holy Spirit. Don't set no boundaries. Every person that's ever struggled with Holy Spirit is because they have boundaries and they're afraid to let go of those boundaries because they're not sure what's going to happen. When you release yourself to the Word of God, it's not you no more. It's God doing it in you. And that's what the children of Israel had to do. They had to release themselves to the Word of God. And you'll see it when we read the text, okay? But let's read Acts. You ready? So there's a lot of reading that you do. One of the things that is important to understand when he gives Torah is he gave a lot of scripture to Moses on Mount Sinai. A lot of stuff he gave him. And so it's important that we understand some of those. We can't read all of the stuff that needs to be read, but we'll read some of it tonight, okay? Verse number 1. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Now, did they speak these tongues on their own? No. Remember, these tongues here were different languages. Now, they were speaking different languages that they didn't even know. That's why it was so incredible. And people started looking and hearing, what is this? So the Spirit was doing that, giving them that understanding. So it was a miracle. I'm talking about right off the bat, all of a sudden, they're able to speak a language that they never previously knew. That'd be pretty incredible. Right? How many would think anybody in here, if you just started, a lot of times people say, well, I'd like to know another language. Well, can you imagine you're praying and all of a sudden you're able to speak the word of God in a different language that you've not previously trained in or was taught in? You never just you could speak it. You would call that a miracle? That's what happened here. That's exactly what happened. And I want you to keep that in mind as we read this. Now, there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. Why were they there? For the feast, Shavuot. That's why they were there. But that's the day God selected. Now, all that's significant. Remember, this very significant why God selects the... How many know God has appointed times? There's appointed times that God has. How many know God has an appointed time that he's going to send his son back? He has an appointed time for that. And Jesus let us know that. So these men are there, and when this sound occurred, the crowd came together and were bewildered because each one of them was hearing them speak in his own language. So those that were together in the upper room, those that were there, they began to speak the things of God in the language of the people who traveled in from other places to come for the feast. So they were amazed. They said, wow, what is this that's going on? And they were amazed and astonished, saying, why are not all these who are speaking Galileans? They wanted to know, why are not all these Galileans? So the ones that were from there, they didn't travel in, they were already there. And how is it that we each hear them in our own language to which we were born? We hear them in our language. How many would think that would be amazing? So we have Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and the residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, and Phrygia, and Philippia, and Egypt, and the districts of Libya around Cyrene, and the visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them in our own tongue speaking of the mighty deeds of God. We hear them speaking of the mighty deeds of God. And they all continued in amazement and great perplexity, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others were mocking, saying, they are full of sweet wine. How many know people are going to mock? If you're not being mocked, you're not doing what God wants you to do. That we don't like being mocked. We want to blend. We got to, and listen, nobody knows I'm a Christian unless I tell them. Can you see where we got to work on some things? Nobody really knows I'm one unless I wear a sign or I tell them. The only reason folks think I'm a Christian because they know I go to church on Sunday. Is that enough? What about if you was operating in authority and power and God was, there were breakthroughs happening in your life that wasn't happening in anybody else's who wasn't under the word or the covering of the water, the washing of the water by the word of God, or being baptized with Holy Spirit? What about that? Anybody ready for some of that? But Peter, taking his stand with the 11, raised his voice and declared to them, men of Judah, and all you who live in Jerusalem, Let this be known to you and give heed to my words. For these men are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. Now he's bringing up some information to them that they're familiar with. All those devout Jews that came for the Pentecost, as in the Greek, or Shavuot, they came for that. They understood what he was talking about. This is the thing spoken by Joel, the prophet. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose. And it shall be in the last days, God said. Says, I will pour forth my spirit on all mankind. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my bond servants, both men and women, I will in those days pour forth my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will grant wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth below. Anybody ready for that? The sun will be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the great and glorious day of the Lord shall come. And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So I want you to keep that in mind. Now, we read that text, the text that I started with. That's the text of the what we call Pentecost today, or the anniversary of the church. And what happened to them was that they were experiencing, because of their willingness to approach or come before God, as Jesus said, go ye to Jerusalem and tarry there till you be endued with power from on high. And then he lets us know, you shall receive power after that Holy Spirit is on you, comes on you, you're baptizing, and you'll be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. So we know that power is for us to be the witness. It's to be able to speak like Peter stood up to speak and said, listen, this is not what you think. He said, this was spoken by the prophet Joel. And so he begins to declare the wonderful things of God, and they're hearing it in their own language. So I want you to keep that in mind. Same thing happened at Mount Sinai when God gets ready. They get to that spot, that place on Shavuot. There they are. And he declares, I'm going to speak to my people. Come near the mountain. And we're going to read that in just a little bit. So I want you to keep that. So let's go on this little journey really quick. Number one, Nisan 1, the start of the sacred year. Remember the beginning of the year? The beginning of the year is Nisan 1. Nisan 15, number 2, is Passover. Remember we covered that not long ago. We covered that. So when do you take the lamb, though? When does the lamb take in? What day? On the 14th. Remember that. Everybody remembers that when we studied that? So the lamb's taken on the 14th. The lamb's then taken. The lamb's killed on the 14th. You eat the lamb. And then it's Passover, which is the 15th. So I'm just going to run through it. I can't cover all of the things that go with it. But we'll do these... Every so often we'll cover some of this stuff so it'll help us get more understanding. Number 3, Nisan 18, Pharaoh pursues. Remember he said, okay, finally, remember Passover, what happened in Egypt? The firstborn, that last plague, all the firstborn of the land of Egypt and the animals, everything died because the blood had to be put on the post. And the children of Israel, they put it on there. The Egyptians didn't. It was a great, massive, the Passover happened. The death angel passes, and there's death throughout the land. So he says, get out. Lets them go. But then he changes his mind, and he starts pursuing them. So that's on the 18th. Nisan 20, Pharaoh traps the Israelites. Remember, there's mountain on either side, and there's the sea, and they're trapped. How many know God is able, no matter what we think we're facing, God is able to protect us? How many know that? What did God do? What did he do when they were trapped and Pharaoh was coming? The Shekinah glory of God came and put a wall there and said, you can't go no farther. I wonder what they thought when they saw that. So they were not only was the enemy amazed, but the children of Israel were amazed. Look at this wonder that's happening. And so I want you to keep that Number five, Nisan 21, the parting of the sea. That's the parting of the sea. So what happens is he says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. He stretched forth his hand, and what does God do? He opens the sea and they march across on dry land. Amen? Nisan 24, the first Sabbath, is celebrated. So that's on the other side. They're on the other side of the sea, and they celebrate the Shabbat. It's celebrated. So the first Shabbat is celebrated. And so keep that in mind. Number seven, in your, the 15th, that's the manna is given. In your, the 23rd, water from the rock. I mean, remember that. The people was without, they didn't have any food. He gives the manna. He supplies their need. They didn't have no water. He tells them to strike the rock, and what happens? The water comes out. Now we're on number nine, Sivan. No, one, on the first of Sivan, is the arrival at Sinai. They get there. We got Sivan 2, the day of distinction. So we got the arrival, and I want these are the ones I'm going to focus on to get you to understand some things tonight. And number 11, which is Sivan 3 through 5, the 3 days of preparation. And then 12, Sivan on the 4th, Moses writes the Torah. And so we know that there's some things going on between those days there. And then Sivan 5 on the 5th, the covenant is offered. And Sivan 6, the giving of the Torah to the people. So they get it. They hear it. Okay? And so when Sivan 6 is what we celebrate today. Starting today, tomorrow, and throughout tomorrow into the morning time of Monday. We give God the glory. Amen? And we ought to be praising Him and honoring Him, thanking Him for His Word. How many want to thank God for His Word? Thank Him for Holy Spirit. See, Holy Spirit, when we talk about Holy Spirit, that's a that's the Word. He said, I'll baptize them, and I'll write not on tables, but in their hearts. How does He do that? By the Holy Spirit. That's some, that's an amazing power that God wants us to experience and have. And so I want to cover those things with you. Let's cover number nine. So we'll back up to nine. And Sivan 1, the arrival at Sinai. And so we're going to be looking at these wonderful principles. Let me, I'll pull them up here, and then I'll bring you to the text that I want to read in just a little bit. Go to Exodus chapter 19. You can go there. I'm also going to have it here on the overhead. And then we'll start reading that. And I want you to keep this in mind. These are some of the things that you got to set yourself and get yourself ready and put your posture right for God to do what He wants to do through this. And now we have Holy Spirit, but I'm telling you, people is not experiencing it to the fullest that they need to, because we're not understanding exactly what God says about that in its relation when He set up Shabbat. And we need to look at that. So Shavuot, when we look at that and we understand it, we're going to start seeing clearly what the Holy Spirit was given and what we need to do as far as the Holy Spirit goes. Because people go through phases, right? Remember, there's a charismatic phase that folks went through, and you see people, the manifestation of the Spirit. And then the manifestation, and then you go through those phases where it's the Spirit of God's manifesting. Well, there were some things I noticed when all of that was going on. I noticed that folks, when they were in church, manifest the Spirit. But when they were out of church, there was no Spirit around. So there was an issue there. That was telling me something. You could turn it on when you wanted it on, and you turned it off when you wanted it off. You set your boundaries. Remember those boundaries I talked about when we got started? And that's what folks do. And so that's how you can have division in the same room. You're in the same room. We're all Christians here, yet we're divided because we see things the way we see them. And we have to be careful that's not how you come to know Christ. When you accept Christ, you don't say, okay, I'm accepting you, but I'm accepting you with my parameters, the limitations that I've set. You know, you got to accept him at what he's done. You don't get part of him. You accept the fullness of what he did. How many believe when Christ died on the cross and he shed his blood for us, that the blood that he shed is able to forgive us of all of our trespasses and sins, all of them? What is amazing, and some folks say, well, you know, this is just one thing that I'm going through. It's just, I don't know, I just can't get over it. That's self-parameters that's been set, and we won't let go. We're holding on, and we won't let the baptism take place. Where it's a full release, you put your full trust in the Word of God. You put your trust in the Word of God, all that stuff's going to go away with. Then we say, well, you know, well, we need to have this deliverance time. That's what we need. We need deliverance time. Let me tell you something about deliverance. When you fall underneath the Word of God and you let the Holy Spirit come in your life and do the job that needs to be done, the deliverance happens. You got to let go and let it do its finished work. The whole product gets taken care of all at the same time. So why do we struggle after that? Because we have a tendency to go back. The struggle is not because God, the blood couldn't do it. That's not the struggle. And that's what we have a tendency to do and say, well, you know, I just ain't got that done yet. And then we'll hold on to those little things, those little pauses in our life, we'll hold on to them. Well, let me tell you, the blood, it takes care of it. It gives it, it's a complete cleansing. But what is the struggle? The struggle is our tendency to go back. That's the stuff we work on. How do we get strengthened in the Word of God? We go back to the Word of God and we say, you know, I don't want to fail the Lord. I don't want to displease God. I don't want to do those things. And so these are things that I think that we have to keep in mind, okay? Now, Exodus chapter 19. So in the third month after the sons of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on that very day they came into the wilderness of Sinai. When they set out from Rephidim, they came to the wilderness of Sinai and camped in the wilderness. And there Israel camped in front of the mountain. Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the sons of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenants, then you shall be my own possession among all the people, for all the earth is mine. Is everybody seeing that? Now, I want you to get this in mind. The arrival at Sinai is absolutely incredible. They arrive there, and so he speaks these words to them, and then he says, this is going to be a day of distinction. So this is the distinction that I want you to get a hold to. Verse 4, and he says this, you yourself have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenants, then you shall be my own possession among all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the sons of Israel. That's a distinction. So I want you to keep that in mind when we're looking at this. First of all, there's an arrival. So that arrival is us coming to Jerusalem. We come to Jerusalem. Go to Jerusalem. They arrive there. And then there's going to be a distinction that's going to happen. There's a setting apart that God will establish for his people. And he wants you and I to be set apart. Listen, when he says that we'll be a kingdom of priests, a holy nation, these are the words that you shall speak to the sons of Israel. Let them know that there's a distinction between them and all the rest of the people in the world. I'm setting them apart. And so I want you to keep that in mind. These are the things God is speaking over them. Now, the whole time that he's speaking these things, he's letting them he wants them to understand. Moses, you tell them what I'm telling you. I want them to understand these principles so they grab hold to them. Now, the 3 days of preparation from verse 3 to 6, they got to get ready. How many know that we got to prepare ourselves and we got to make preparation for what God is establishing in our lives? We got to make sure that we're doing that. So Moses came and called to the elders of the people and set before them all these words which the Lord had commanded him. He said, let me tell you what God just told me. I want you to understand what he's saying. I want you to understand that. And so when we see this time, we see God is offering a covenant with them. There's a covenant that God is offering. He said, this is the covenant that I'm making with you. And I want you to understand this covenant is sure. It doesn't fade away. It doesn't end. It doesn't go away. And so these are important principles that he's saying. I want you to know that I'm going to do just what I said. In verse 8, he said, all the people answered together and said. This is what they said. All that the Lord has spoken, we will do. That's what the people said. All that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And Moses brought back the word of the people to the Lord. So what did he go back and tell the Lord? He said, they said they'll do it. You told me, they said they'll do it. Anybody ever said you'll do it? Anybody ever give word to God and said, you'll do it? I'll do it. There's been times in our life that we said we'll do it and we didn't do it. And somehow we feel like, you know what, it doesn't matter. But it does matter to God. It does matter. It matters a lot to God. Listen, I'm trying to show you tonight when we celebrate, when we remember the Shavuot, when we come and we remember that, we understand Pentecost. That's the Greek term for Pentecost. We counted the Omer. We got to the 49 days from the unleavened bread. And now we're at the 50th day, the day of Pentecost. When it's fully come, all of a sudden, suddenly there came a sound from heaven. When they got to Mount Sinai, they're standing all of a sudden. Suddenly, the Lord, he goes up to speak there. He calls Moses to the side. And he says, you go tell the people, this is what I'm going to do. They'll be my people. They're never going to want for anything. I'm going to take care of them. There'll be a kingdom of priests to their God. And then he tells the people, and what does the people say? Go tell God, we're going to do everything he said. So we got an agreement now, right? God made a covenant. They agreed on the covenant. Everything's signed. Everything's ready to go. And now all we're waiting for is the results. Then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will come to you in a thick cloud, so that the people may hear when I speak with you and may also believe in you forever. Then Moses told the words of the Lord to the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their garments and let them be ready for the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. Remember that preparation day? You tell them, get ready, prepare. So they arrived at Mount Sinai, and in that arrival time, the day of distinction, God sets them apart. He said, you're going to be different. You're going to be my people. That's a day of distinction. And then we have the days of preparation. He said, in the third day, he said, I'm going to come. The third day. So he said, you wash your garments, get yourself ready. This is serious business with God. And I want, you know, I often think about that. Who prepared for tonight? Who washed your garments before we started worship? Are we just figuring, God, just take me like I am? Dirt and all. We know better. We know that's not how we should approach God. Yet we do it because we're under grace. Don't matter. And that's what's happening in the church today. People are going to churches and flocking there, and they'll put on shows, and they'll act up, show enough throughout the service, and they're not living right for God when they leave. And how is God supposed to accept that? But to everybody else, it looks like everybody's spiritual and everybody's serving God and everybody's doing great. And we wonder why there's so many sick among us. Think about that. We're not going to have it no more. Listen, we're not going to do it. You have to say to yourself, we're not doing it. We're going to prepare ourselves before we go before God. How many know that there has to be a time of preparation? We shouldn't just say, well, I'm just going to start talking to God. Where's the preparation at? When folks say, well, we don't need to prepare because the grace, now that we have grace, everything's good. Jesus just accomplished it all for me. That's not a good way to think. Because people say, well, Jesus accomplished for me. I didn't got to do anything. I just show up and people, we act the way we want, say the things we want to say. We're involved in whatever we want to be involved in. And we don't realize we made no preparation when we come before God to set our hearts right to worship and honor him and give him the praise and glory that he deserves. We need to be doing that. This is important stuff. And we got to make sure that we check in ourselves every time before we go to before the Lord, service time, before we go to pray, whatever it is. What about when you ask God for something? You just ask him, man, I'm in a need right now. I need it, God. You got to do it. Where's the preparation time? When's the last time we put a day aside and said, today I'm just going to prepare myself and I'm going to get myself where I need to be before I start asking God for some stuff? And you need some miracles. You need some breakthroughs. You need God to come through for you, but we ain't prepared for anything. We just want it now, God. I'm hurt. I want it fixed. And we make no preparation whatsoever. He told the people, and he said to them, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow and let them wash their garments and let them be ready for the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. Everybody say the third day. I wish I had time to get into that, but that's significant. Verse 12, you shall set bounds. How many know God's got boundaries for the people all around, saying, beware that you do not go up on the mountain to touch the borders of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. So there's boundaries. So here's what happens, though. We get under grace and we feel like there's no boundaries. We can say what we want to God. We can act the way we want to God. And we don't have no set distinction that God is almighty. And we just talk to him any kind of way we want. Where's the brokenness where we fall on our face before God and prostrate ourselves and humble ourselves before God and declare that there's none like him? Now, God's doing some wonderful stuff here. But he said, listen, and this is what folks will say, well, you know, because Jesus come, he paid all of it, and now we can just do what we want. He said, come before his throne boldly and ask anything. Absolutely, I'm all for that. Come before his throne boldly. But there's borders. There's boundaries. Do you understand that? And we have to make sure that we never forget that. He's our loving Father, and he cares about us, but remember, he's still the Father. We should never treat him like he's a brother. Do you understand that? There's a respect level that they're just lost because folks said, well, Jesus paid for it all. And he did. He paid for it all. But you don't go and treat your father that way. You ought to have more respect now that he paid for it all. You ought to honor him more. And this is important, valuable that we understand that. And so these are things that I believe that we have to take into consideration. Verse 13, no hand shall touch him, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through. Whether beast or man, he shall not live. When the ram's horn sounds a long blast, they shall come up to the mountain. So when the shofar blows, they shall come to the mountain. So Moses went down from the mountain to the people and consecrated the people, and they washed their garments. He said to the people, be ready for the third day. Do not go near a woman. So it came about on the third day when it was morning that there were thunder and lightning, flashes and a thick cloud upon the mountain, and a very loud trumpet sound, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was all in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked violently. Imagine that sight. And when the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke and God answered him with thunder. And the Lord came down on Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, "Go down, warn the people, so that they do not break through the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. Also let the priests who came near to the Lord consecrate themselves, or else the Lord will break out against them." Moses said to the Lord, "The people cannot come up to the Mount Sinai, for you warned us, saying," Moses said, "the people cannot come, for he warned us, saying, set bounds about the mountain and consecrate it." Then the Lord said to him, "Go down, come up again, you and Aaron with you, but do not let the priests and the people break through to come up to the Lord, or he will break forth upon them." So Moses went down to the people and told them. And when I think about that whole scene, he goes and tells them, this is what God says, don't push to the mountain and gaze in. He said, there's parameters. I want you to recognize that we serve an awesome God. He's amazing, absolutely amazing. And we can come before his throne boldly, he said, and ask anything. There's no issue there. We can. But what we fail to do is recognize him as being who he is. And so folks will come in before, and they're not recognizing that. And that's where we get in trouble. That's where the trouble starts. And we need to recognize that. So I want you to keep that in mind as we go through this. Now, I'm going to read the book, Numbers. I'm going to read a couple more verses there, and then we're going to find a place to stop. And then this continues. This is setting up us for tomorrow. So Numbers 28, verse 26, also on the day of the first fruits, when you present a new grain offering to the Lord your God, Feast of Weeks, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no laborious work. You shall offer a burnt offering and a soothing aroma to the Lord, 2 young bulls, 1 ram, 7 male lambs, 1 year old, and their grain offering, fine flour mixed with all, 3/10 of an ephah for each bull, 2/10 for the 1 ram, and 1/10 for each of the 7 lambs, also 1 male goat to make atonement for you, besides the continual burnt offering and its grain offering, and you shall present them with their drink offering, they shall be without defect. And so all of this, I said all of this for a reason. If you see how descriptive God was on what needed to be done when they were doing these offerings, and I put that there for you to see that there was a lot of things that had to be abided by. How many of you know that when something, a law or that comes out, an ordinance, anything, it's descriptive. It's going to have things in there that have to be done. And so God is very descriptive. This is what has to be done in order for you to come before me. And we see that. But here's what happens. When Christ comes and he pays for it, he becomes that lamb for us, then we can go before the throne of God boldly and ask anything. What happens, there's a tendency for us to say, well, it doesn't matter anymore. Nothing matters. I can go from living in sin, deliberately doing it, and go to a worship service and sing to the Lord. And I wonder how God's supposed to think about that. I'm telling you, we have to make sure that that's not what we're doing. So when we celebrate and we're recognizing what God establishes for us through the text that we read this morning, and then we'll go back and we're going to go over some more this evening, and in the morning, we're going to be looking at this. We're going to be investigating the scripture that shows that God was very serious on what he did and how he established these rites for us. So when you come and you celebrate Shavuot, it's to recognize that Torah was given. It's to recognize that God is covering you, submerging you with his word, protecting you with his word. But we have to be obedient to the word. We got to obey the word. And I hope that you see the connection between the grace effect. If we're not being obedient to the word of God, then the grace is not there. And so we have to make sure that we got to obey. We obey, we get the benefits are there for us. And these are important areas of for us to take some time to look at. And I want to tell you, it's up to us. It's up to you as individuals. You can decide on your own. What am I going to do? As a person who's living for the Lord, who's wanting to do right, what am I going to do to make sure that I'm being obedient to the things of God? Where's my responsibility to the scripture? Am I reading it? Am I studying it? Does it mean that much to me? Does people really know that I live for the Lord? Do I have to tell them? Where's that set apart? Where's the distinction at? When do I prepare? When have I prepared myself to come before the Lord? When do I make preparation? Well, so I don't have to prepare now. You know, Christ did it all for me. I don't really have to do anything. And so that's how that's what we do. We have that same idea when we come before God, and then we go and ask him right away, Lord, can you do this? Oh, God, can you do that? And so we can go from deliberately breaking the command of God and asking God to do something. Never saying, God, that was wrong what I did. I need you to forgive me. I'm sorry for doing that. Before we ask him for anything. So there's none of that happens anymore. So we carry that on in our adult life. We start doing it in everything we do. We feel like, you know what, there's no consequence for anything. It doesn't really matter. And we fail to judge ourselves at all. We don't do it at all. And we wonder why we have struggles in our life. And we don't do it when it comes to church. And what pushes us to really get a fervor for God and excitement for God is if all of a sudden we have a need that demands it. It demands for us to posture ourselves in the right way. It demands us to do it. And that's something that we have to take into consideration. We have to remember who we are. In Shavuot, there was two things that they would bring. He said they'd bring two loaves of bread. Two loaves. And those loaves had the leaven in them. So they were raised breads, not unleavened, not flat, and those loaves would be brought. And we have to understand, recognize something there. When those loaves were brought during Shavuot, when they brought, it's recognized that we have to deal with the things in our life on a daily basis. We have to make sure that as we walk through life and we have the grace upon our lives, that we're serious about making sure that we're honoring the covenant that we have with God. Are we doing it? It's to let us know. It's a bringing us back, as it were, to recognize I saved you. I delivered you. I'm the one that was there for you. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, all of a sudden there was a sound from heaven, a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the place where they were. Things began to happen for them. So you got to keep those things in mind. This is important for us to understand. So in the morning, we're going to be covering more of this. We're going to be going through some more of the texts that are important for us to understand about Pentecost and understanding what's been established for us. And I want to tell you, it's going to be up to you and I to make sure that we decide on what it is that we're going to do when it comes to recognize who God is and honoring him for everything that he does for us. Should we honor him? When you approach Sinai, we need to recognize that this is where God is going to deliver his word. When Holy Spirit comes and fills your life, that's the word of God. It's an ability to have an understanding in the word of God and things that you never normally would have understood. You wouldn't understand it. So if you spend time with the Holy, just spend time allowing that power from on high to be endued with power from on high, your life's going to be a whole lot different. You're going to see things differently. You're going to have more dedication. You're going to be closer to the Lord. You're going to have worship's going to change. Your whole worship's going to change. You're not going to be thinking about this and that. You're going to be just worshiping God because the Spirit of the Lord is driving you to in His presence. And it sets that posture right for us to do what God wants us to do. How many understand that? Let's stand. God is good to us. In the morning, we're going to be going through some more scripture dealing with this. Some scripture that I told you that you could read, get leading up to this, preparing for this. Hopefully, we take some consideration in this. We make preparation. It's not just an event that I go to. I'm preparing for it. I'm setting my heart right with God, Lord. I don't want to come to church knowing that I got all this stuff. I want to. How many of you know you don't come to church to prepare? Not where you prepare. You prepare before you get here. That's what. There's no preparation. We don't recognize how important that is. I'm going to prepare myself for tomorrow's service. I'm going to get up and pray before I come to church. I ain't got to pray today. I'm going to church. I ain't even got to read my Bible. I'm going to church today. It's a free day. We got to prepare ourselves. We got to get ready. We got to spend some time with God and talk to Him and say, "Okay, Lord, I want to make sure that whatever I do, I don't want to have anything that's going to distract. I don't want any things to interrupt the relationship that I have with You. So if You see anything in my life that I need to fix, I want to get rid of it right now before I go to church. I don't want to have to do it there. I want to get rid of it before I go." Let me tell you, the same God that's here to help you, He's at your house to help you. Same healer that heals you here, He's healing you at your house. Same deliverer, same one to give you strength and understanding, help you with your finances, help you with your physical well-being, help you with your mind. All that's the same one that'll be with you wherever you are. It's no change, but we have to prepare ourselves. And we have to make sure that when God hands down the commandments, He said you have to obey those commandments. He sets us apart. There's a distinction to God. As God views us tonight, He said there's a distinction between you and the ones who are not in Christ. How do you see yourself? See, that's the issue. To God, there's a distinction, but how do we see it? It's amazing that there's no real big difference. The only difference is we go to church. What's the difference in our life? What's happening in our life? Where's the accomplishments that come with the believer? Where is the healings? Where's the miracles that come with knowing who we believe in? Where are those deliverances? Where are those miracles? Where are they? Do we want them? That's what Shavuot was all about. It's recognizing that God delivered His word at Mount Sinai. He delivered it. And on the day of Pentecost, He said, "You go there and tarry." And He said, "You'll be endued with power from on high." And that church was released, the anniversary of that church, and things began to happen. When Peter spoke the first message he spoke with that authority in his life, 3,000 people come to the Lord. 3,000. You ever wondered why we struggle seeing our community come to the Lord? We haven't come yet. We're hanging out with Him. We sort of there, but not fully there. We've made no preparation to make 100% full commitment to God to follow and make sure we're obeying His commands. So how do we know that? We got to go back and check ourselves. See to it that we're doing what He said. If we constantly see and this constantly happen, there's something that we need to be working on. And so we go and say, we don't wait for somebody to say, go and say, "You know what, something can't be right. Either God's a liar or I'm doing something wrong." Which one you want to go with? Are we in a position to call God a liar? I think we ought to get in the best thing to do is to admit we've done something wrong. Just admit it and say, "You know what, we could go and fix this." And that's why we thank God for His grace, amen, that we can go and do that. He forgives and He wants us to take the initiative. Take the initiative to get, listen, you got to get enthused about serving God. Well, I just don't feel nothing no more. What do you want to feel? What do you want? You want somebody to come blow on you? We want somebody to come and show some charisma and get all fancied on us and get all excited and excite the crowd. And man, you get to go up there and feel something? What about God? You know what? That falls under the gazing. He said, you don't let them come and gaze. He said, you tell them to stay right there by that boundary, and I'm going to do everything I said right there at that spot. But folks want to just, they want to gaze in. They want to get, it's always something better, something new, more exciting, and it's all a bunch of gazing that's going on. I want you to, he said, you just stay right there. He said, you watch and see what I'll do if you obey me. So if we'll be obedient to God, watch him do it. How many ready for change? How many ready to see your whole life change? How many ready to see things start the way you have authority in your words? You have an excitement to live for the Lord, and you're excited, you're happy about it, you're thrilled about it. How many ready to see everything you put your hands to do is going to be blessed? Supernaturally blessed. Folks say, what are you doing? But there's not a distinction, you see. The only difference is you go to church. You're dealing with all the same problems. You have no power. There's no authority. There's no breakthrough. You got the same problems. When we're having to fix all those problems on our own. Are you ready for God to come through for us? He wants to, but we got to fix some things. We got to admit to him and say, you know what, Lord, we're sorry. We got to prepare ourselves. Repent. There's no repentance anymore. Nobody repenting, saying, you know what, obviously I'm doing something wrong. Because ain't nobody can be nobody can be stuck in this rut as long as I've been stuck in it. It's over. I'm not going to do it no more. And to get on our face and don't get up until we got a breakthrough. Where's that at? Where is that at where we cry out and we hold on to God and we say, God, we're going to have breakthrough. If we're constantly seeing our children attacked by the enemy, you got to get on your face and you cry out to God until the devil leaves them alone. That's your babies. And you shouldn't have to have somebody constantly pumping them up with stuff to try to keep them going when you serve a God who can heal them. Are you getting this? There's no reason to be in some financial rut for years. There's no reason for it. We don't have to be there. Not when God's promised you, gave you dreams, gave you prophetic word that it wouldn't be that. But he said, you got to get yourself prepared. Prepare yourself. Posture's got to be right. And if we'll start praying and seeking the Lord, somebody fast sometimes. That's a tough one. Think about it. It's not easy to do. If you look back at any highlight of your life when God was moving strong as you ever seen him, I can assure you it's because that was your posture was different than it is now. You were seeking the Lord more. You were preparing more for the service. And let me tell you, if we get dissatisfied with how church goes, it's our fault. We can't sing loud enough. We can't play music good enough. We can't do any of those things that's going to bring a breakthrough. It's what takes place when you're home, when you come here, it's going to be the result of what happens. What you do home, what you're doing every day. And if you have no a constant, maintained relationship with God every day, and I mean, you're hungry for him. You're passionate for him. You just want him. You want to talk to him. And let me tell you, if we're not doing that, that result's going to be seen in the church service. You want a breakthrough in the morning? I challenge all of you to prepare before you come. Prepare. Spend some time with God saying, God, I don't want anything to hinder me. I want to go before you and I want to worship you. That's why we lack in everything. We're slack in everything we do because there's no preparation leading up to it. And we don't want that. Amen? How many want to prepare for tomorrow's service? Come prepare. Come saying, God, I'm going to spend some time. Set your clock a little early and get up and go pray for an hour and say, God, I just love you and I want to be right before you. I want to walk in that building, Lord, and I just want to shout praise to you like I never did before. You know, it just hurts God when the first thing we do, rather than going to him for our healing or going to him, is we reach for something else. My mind's messed up. I got to just go talk to somebody. What about him? I got to take something. What about him? I'm in financial trouble. I got to do something different. I got to get more. I got to do this. And we're changing jobs. We're trying everything we do. What about him? What about him? Can he do it? Can he come through? I don't care how bad it is out there. Don't make a difference of what is going on. Can God do it? He said he would. He said he would do it, but we have to approach him. That's what Shavuot was all about. If you want to know what it's about, that's what it's about. How many's arrived? You arrive at Sinai. Then there's a distinction. God tells you who you are. It's a distinction. You're different than everybody else. I pick you. Does that help anybody? You've been picked by God? If you've come to know God through Christ Jesus, you've been selected. He said in Peter, you're a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, set apart. It's who you are. So now that we know that, we have to prepare. He said, I'm going to give you 2 days to wash your garments and get ready. And then on the third day, how many ready for God to do something for you? Father, I just thank you. I ask you to forgive us, Lord, for anything we might have done.